Thank you. Thank you. Set apart for you, ready to do your will. Over these past weeks, we've been looking at growing in our Christian faith, at what it is to be mature Christians and how we grow in that. But we need to be careful. We're not just wanting to grow so that we feel that we're bigger and we're stronger. We're wanting to grow so that we can serve and honor God better. But it often seems like it's getting to be much more difficult to serve God. It's getting more difficult to be a Christian. We look around the world and there's some horrific persecution of Christians going on. And we're not facing that level of persecution, but it does get more difficult to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's just legislation that's passed, and we think, you know what, I find that difficult to live with. Maybe it's the fun that's poked at us or the ridicule that's made of us. People snigger about the fact we go to church on a Sunday morning, a sort of a quaint, old-fashioned thing to do. Maybe it's just belittling values that we hold. Whatever it is, it's often getting more and more difficult to live that Christian life. It's not that long ago that a judge over in England, summing up a case, made the statement that we can no longer consider ourselves to be a Christian nation. Now, what he was talking about is really irrelevant, is that statement. We can no longer consider ourselves to be a Christian nation. And yet, this is where we're called to live. This is where we're called to stand for Jesus Christ. This is where we're called to live out our Christian faith. And there are times when that can be extremely difficult. I want you to watch just a short little video clip.
Over a month, around 6% of the UK gather together to worship Jesus.
It feels like we're too few to make a difference.
But the reality is, Monday to Saturday, God has us, scattered in the world, connecting to hundreds and thousands of people.
So wherever you are,
whoever you are,
whatever you do,
you can make all the difference in the world.
And on Sundays, when we gather together,
we strengthen and empower one another to be sent out again
for life on our front lines.
Making a difference where you are. There are times when we feel that we are just in a small corner. Hope read for us the beginning of Peter's letter to the churches in what is now what we now call Turkey. He writes to scattered groups of Christians in that area, people who've been removed from all of the familiarity and comfort that they enjoyed of larger numbers, of just being in a place that they called home, of recognizing what was going on around them. These were people under pressure. They had been scattered to these areas because of persecution. They were people under pressure. And Peter writes to them to try and help them to understand what it means to be the church. What it means to be the church. Sometimes when we talk about church, there are different things go through minds. People, when you say, talk about church, people may say, oh yes, I see that building when I'm driving up the Coleraine Road. Beautiful building, floodlit at night, lovely building. And that's one image of church. Other people may think, well, church is what happens at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. We gather together, that's church. And yet the Bible all the way through sees church gathering as God's people, So Peter is helping these challenged, scattered Christians to see themselves not as being isolated, but to see themselves as being part of God's ongoing story. All these people scattered. Not, wouldn't all have been Jewish in their background, but now they've all been chosen. And that's one of the words that Peter uses. He writes to these people and reminds them that they're chosen, they're elected by God, called by God. And sometimes we struggle over what that means and how it works out. One of the things that's helped me to understand it is when you're called, or chosen, elected by God, it's like moving into a room and seeing your name on the back of the door and knowing you're always meant to be there. God always wanted you to be there. Called, chosen, elected. So these people scattered all across Asia, God wants them to know that he's called them, he's chosen them, he's elected them. They're there as his people. From the very start, God called people for his own purposes. You remember Abraham? Abraham, this well-to-do businessman, who's called by God to leave absolutely everything and head off to, well, he doesn't know where. God will lead him. God will guide him. But the assurance of God is this: Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So God chooses Abraham, calls Abraham, and says, I'm going to bless you, but only so that you can be a blessing to the world around you. Called by God, blessed by God, to be a blessing to the world around them. God's purpose is still unchanged. Wasn't just Abraham, wasn't just these people to whom Peter is writing, it's to us today. God says, I've chosen you. When you accepted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, it's that affirming God's call upon your life. He's chosen you, and his purpose is still the same. He's blessing you so that in turn you can be a blessing where God has placed you. That's important. God has chosen you to bless you so that you can pass that blessing on to others around you. So, part of being the church is gathering, as we do this morning, to strengthen and encourage each other, to remind each other that we've been called by God, elected by God, chosen by God, blessed, so that we can then pass that blessing on. But Peter doesn't only say that these people are elect, are chosen. He also uses the word exiles. God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered exiles. Strangers in the world, scattered. That's sometimes what it feels like Monday morning. Because here we can say and do the right things. We're surrounded by people who think in a similar way. It's great. And we are strengthened and encouraged by that. But maybe tomorrow morning is a different story. We don't have the strength and comfort and encouragement of Christians all around us. When Peter uses this picture of being in exile, it recalls one of the great disasters of the Old Testament. Because of their disobedience, God's people are scattered. Because of their disobedience, God's people are sent into exile, away from everything that's familiar, everything that's comfortable, everything to which they held dear. They're sent out. They're scattered into exile. And they hoped for a quick return. You remember the start of the, what do you remember? Some of you might remember the start of the First World War. And the comment was, we'll be home by Christmas. And we know that didn't work. Something like that was going through the minds of these folks as they're sent off into exile. It'll soon be over. We'll be back home. But here's the truth. As you read through the Old Testament, you discover that most of that generation did not return home. But they stayed where they were. Called to be distinct. Called to be a blessing where they were. Here's a verse from Jeremiah, where Jeremiah the prophet is speaking God's word to God's people. And he simply says this: seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. The place that these people of God have been sent to, God says to them, seek the peace and prosperity of that city. Be a blessing to that city. You mightn't be very comfortable in it, mightn't be what you would call home, but I want you to be a blessing to that city. Seek its peace and prosperity. Today we're scattered for most of our time. We don't spend most of our time with fellow Christians. You might be the only Christian at home. You might be the only Christian in your work. You might be the only Christian in the golf club or the rugby club or wherever you go to relax. You might be the only one in your class, on your team. But the call is still the same: to be a blessing where God has placed you. So all these places are places where you can be a blessing. Places where we are called to shine. Because Monday to Saturday, this is what we look like. We're not squeezed into a corner, encouraging and strengthening each other. We're scattered. And there we're called to shine. Here's what the Bible calls God's people to do wherever they are. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure. And listen to this: children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars. That crooked and depraved generation, it could be a newspaper headline for today. Look around us. But where God has called you to live and to be, it's where you are to shine like stars. So it's that picture. Each of those little red dots is where God has called you to shine for him, to live for him. It'd be easy to become a red dot or a gray dot. Just blend in. Remember the verse we looked at? Be transformed, not conformed. It would be easy to be conformed, to become that gray dot. Called to stay red, to stay distinct, to be a blessing. This material comes from the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity. It was set up by John Stott to help us understand what it is to be a Christian. And it talks about a front line. Now, I wonder what you think about when you hear the word front line. Some people will have a sort of a military connotation. It's a battlefield, and I think we need to be careful how we use that. But for some people, it is true. It's a struggle. Whatever your front line is, it's a struggle for you. Keeping a Christian witness is not easy. In a classroom, in a hospital ward, an office, a farm, a shop, in a community. So your front line is where you live or work, where you study, where you play, where you connect with non-Christians. So I wonder what your front line is. I wonder where you're called to shine. Your home? Your community, your workplace, where you play. Could it be the school gate as you chat to other parents waiting for your kids to come out? Is it the shop where you meet with the same people as you're going round and chat with them? Where is your front line? Where's that place where you're engaged with other people? These couple of verses at the beginning of Peter finish with Peter reminding us that we don't do all of this on our own. God doesn't simply say, look, I want you to go and live in that difficult place. I want you to be in that difficult situation. Get on with it. As you read through, you find that Peter talks about the foreknowledge of God the Father. God knows the situation that we're in. He knows that it can be difficult. He knows that it can be a struggle. He knows. Peter talks about the sanctifying work of the Spirit. We're set apart, not by our own strength and ability, but by the work of God's Holy Spirit in us, set apart to be that red dot, to shine where God has placed us. He talks about us being sprinkled by his blood. It's a reminder that we're included in this covenant of God's grace by the death of Jesus. It's not a go out there and do your best. It's a go out there and live in Christ and live for Christ. And it's all in the context of being obedient to Jesus Christ. Lining up with Jesus, lining up with his purposes to the world. So Peter rejoices in all that God has done and is doing and simply says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Even though you're living in exile, even though your situation is difficult, even though you wonder what it would be like somewhere else, this is where God has placed you. May God give you grace and peace in abundance. So we're called to live out our Christian lives in scattered places. We're called to be both those who are chosen and those who are sent, those who are elected and those who are exiled. We're called to be people who can make all the difference in the world. Where's your front line? Where will you make all the difference in the world? Where is it that God has placed you? People keep looking at this, and various people have said, Stephen, what's with the map? Adrian was quite happy to be able to hide behind it. I think I don't know where he's gone, but he was. It's not to hide, Adrian. It's a map of our area. And what I would like you to do is, the front here, this little box of these red map pins. What I want everyone to do is simply come up, take a red map pin, and stick it in the map where you think your place of influence is. Where's your front line? Could be, now if it's outside the map, you may just put it down the edge somewhere, head in the right direction, but sometimes we see ourselves just as being Ballywillan here in the middle of it. But the truth is, tomorrow, we're scattered. And this will be a visual image of what it is to be scattered. So please do, there are plenty of pins up here. It'd be great if everyone, I know this may be disrupting your traditional route out that direction, but take a minute, come up, get a pin, stick it on the map, where your place of influence is, where your front line is, just so we can see that together. The other thing that's out in the vestibule and also in the coffee bar are these coasters. Red dots on them. If you're like me, there's the odd cup of coffee drunk during the week. Here's your red dot. Keep it with you in that place of influence, in that front line. Take one with you. Set your cup on it during the week. Remind yourself. So that's the place where God has placed you so that you can shine like a star for Jesus. So two very practical things, which I hope will help us. One is just placing ourselves in this map, and the other one is to take these away. There's some out in the vestibule, there's some in the coffee bar. Take them with you, stick them in your handbag, your pocket, whatever. If you want to take some for your friends, do that. but they're just wee reminders that God has placed you where you are so that you may be a blessing to people around you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you know the world in which we live. You know how it can be difficult. And yet you know too what lies ahead. So we pray that wherever we are, wherever you have set us, Lord, that there we would learn what it is to live for you. In a world which often seems hopeless, Lord, help us to be those who know that we have a living hope in Jesus and to show it. And this we ask in Jesus' name.